Is China's one-child policy on the way out?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. China's government says it plans to strip power away from the agency that oversees the country's controversial one-child policy. And observers say this could spell the beginning of the end for that rule. Marketplace China correspondent Rob Schmitz is with us from Shanghai with the details. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, so is it really possible that China could be on the way to phasing out its one-child policy?
Well, we're not sure, but this is definitely the latest sign from the Chinese government that the one-child policy may be on its way out. And if that's true, it would mean the end of one of the world's most notorious family planning policies. For the past 34 years, China has limited urban couples to one child in an effort to try and curb its massive population. And this has had a big impact on China's labor pool, which we've only started to see recently as this one-child generation has reached its working age.
So I assume that if they got rid of the policy, it would have a pretty big economic impact.
Yeah, I mean, one might think it would help replenish that labor pool that we just talked about. But what's interesting here is that China's demographics are quickly changing. For the first time ever, there are more Chinese who live in urban areas than rural areas. And these days, urban married couples often don't want to have more than one child. And it's not because of this policy. It's because the cost of living in urban China is growing each year. Inflation is up and the economic pressure on urban couples is mounting, and many are content to have one child and be done with it all for all these reasons. So, in effect, many Chinese may continue to honor this policy long after it expires.
Now, Rob, China is obviously in the midst of a transition of power right now, and many of the steps that the new government is taking have to do with keeping people happy, it seems, from the outside. Is that what this is about?
That is definitely one part of this. But when I've gone around interviewing folks about these types of issues, I think that everyone here in China does have an opinion about this policy. And when you go to rural areas, a lot of folks are very angry about it because they've opted to have more than one child and they've been fined a lot of money for having a second or a third child. And in urban areas, people want bigger families. And some people do want that who can afford it. And, in China, I think traditionally many Chinese believe that a happy family is a big family.
Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, Michael Dell's plan to buy his computer company back from shareholders is turning into a bit of a challenge. At least one major shareholder, Carl Icahn, is saying shareholders should get more out of the deal. For his part, Michael Dell hasn't been saying much publicly, but he did speak with Marketplace tech host David Brancaccio at the South by Southwest Interactive Festival. And David is with me now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so first of all, David, what did Michael Dell have to say?
He said Dell is already well down the path of its transformation from a company that makes electronic boxes, computers, servers, and adding to the mix software services. The term he used is end-to-end solutions. He said the company found, quote, that products alone were unable to solve all the challenges and opportunities the customers had. But on the buyout, the subject at hand, which could shape up to be a Shakespearean battle, as we've been reporting, Michael Dell had this to say.
I think this is very good for our customers. It gives our shareholders an opportunity to take advantage of, some of the benefits of the things that we're doing as a company, if they're successful, without taking on all the risks that I and Silver Lake will bear.
I followed up about the good for the shareholders part, but he wasn't prepared to discuss it further. Michael Dell did later acknowledge that his company's transformation has not been a, quote, easy process, but that it's a very exciting time for the company, a word that few would dispute, Jeremy.
Marketplace tech host David Brancaccio, thank you so much.
You bet.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.5% in Tokyo, down 0.4% right now in Frankfurt and Paris. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow added 67 points for another record close, 14,397.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at Marketplace.org.
Over the weekend, Mariano Rivera announced his retirement from the New York Yankees. His career has been a game changer for Major League Baseball, as Eric Malinsky reports.
Before Mariano Rivera, relief pitchers were seen as erratic starters past their prime. Rivera couldn't be a starter. He had only one pitch. But that pitch was a killer fastball that cut at the last moment. And he rarely choked under pressure. Brian Jackson writes for the blog, It's About the Money. He says by the late 90s, every general manager wanted his own Mariano Rivera.
This was your relief ace to nail down a game. And if you didn't have this guy, you couldn't hold leads.
Many relief pitchers that came after Rivera were overpaid, and that created a market bubble. So a crafty general manager like Billy Beane of the Oakland A's would let a decent closer save a bunch of easy games.
And then he'd flip them to some other team for assets that he thought were more valuable.
Around 2005, the bubble burst. Matt Myers is a senior editor at ESPN.com.
Teams have finally started to realize that closers are actually made and not born, and you can find dominant relievers from the scrap heap.
Mid-level closers may not get the huge contracts anymore, but they've earned a lot more respect since Rivera took the mound. In New York, I'm Eric Molinsky for Marketplace.
And finally, New York City is supposed to be the city that never sleeps, but just in case you take that literally, one hotel is offering a reminder that it is okay to sleep. According to the LA Times, the Benjamin Hotel in Manhattan will give you a call to remind you to get ready for bed, to shut down your electronic devices and wind down. It is the opposite of a wake-up call. The hotel is calling it a work-down call. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.